This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. We are now going to go to our weekly Earth Watch. And this week's Earth Watch guest is Michelle Roberts from the Environmental Justice and Health Alliance for Chemical Policy Reform, which networks grassroots organizations throughout the country to advocate for chemical policy reforms that protect environmental justice communities. The organization just released a report entitled Who's in Danger? Race, Poverty, and Chemical Disasters. Michelle Roberts, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ms. Prescott.
Okay. For over 20 years, Michelle Roberts has provided technical assistance and advocacy support to communities regarding the impacts of toxins on human health and the environment. She also worked as an environmental scientist for the government, and she currently serves as the national co-coordinator of the national coalition known as the Environmental Justice and Health Alliance for Chemical Policy Reform. Now, they are a national intergenerational grassroots coalition of over 30 groups in 12 states in the U.S., and it also includes the National Black Farmers Association in the U.S. So, Michelle Roberts, tell us then about what do you mean about this threat to or to communities that are living close to chemical plants?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having us on Earthwatch. I'm an avid listener, actually, out of the Washington, D.C. area, so I listen to you often, and I appreciate being on your show. We recently conducted a demographic analysis that reviewed 3,400 facilities across the United States, facilities such as water treatment, wastewater treatment, pulp and paper, petroleum refineries, and chemical manufacturing facilities. And with that, we layered the U.S. Census data over that analysis and found that race, even 20 years post the Toxic Waste and Race report, authored up by Dr. Bullard from the United Church of Christ, that race is still a factor when it calls for communities living in harm's way, living in vulnerable zones, that being people, mostly people of color, living fence line, what we call fence line to facilities. And oftentimes these communities do not have the necessary infrastructure to even support the very dangers that are around them.
Yeah, and, you know, Michelle Roberts, I must say that I feel victim to that, certainly in the inner city community that I live in and has a number of kind of questionable looking plants around close to us. And then they've posted signs saying that the emissions may be carcinogenic because legally they have to post it. But meanwhile, what can you do? What can you do about it? And then there's some days that there's kind of a funky smell in the community and, you know, your skin gets a little itchy. So are you hearing reports from this and other inner city areas around the country?
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. And I want to say the Environmental Justice and Health Alliance is comprised of communities who are living in that manner as we speak. Communities that are living in the Gulf region of this country, in Appalachia, up in Alaska, in California. And we're hearing about the high rates of cancers and heart disease, cholesterol issues, even down to that of learning disabilities and violence, because of the fact that oftentimes these chemicals have even been associated with being that of contributing to being a neurotoxicity. And so thereby, if a child is conceived in a space where it's totally toxic, these chemicals trespass the womb, goes directly into the womb and into the child. So we have children actually born with at least 200 and some odd chemicals in their body as they are coming through the birth canal. And oftentimes some of these various children, if they live in that same toxic zone by the time they're 18, can be aggressively violent.
Yeah. So Wenbi, Michelle Roberts with Environmental Justice and Health Alliance for Chemical Policy Reform, a coalition, grassroots coalition of over 30 groups in 12 states, including the National Black Farmers Association, Appalachia, the Gulf Coast, the Arctic, Southwest, etc. So when we hear mention of environmental racism, I know there are some environmentalists who will say, well, you know, destruction of the environment impacts everybody. And, you know, why do you want to raise the issue of environmental racism? But as you say, people of color, indigenous communities are disproportionately impacted. I mean, in my neighborhood, and I think it has impacted my daughter, actually, who has various, you know, allergies and, you know, whatnot, I think as a result of being born and growing up in East L.A. But I know very well that those plants in that way would not be located in a wealthy area like Beverly Hills, for example, in Southern California. It would be unheard of. Michelle Roberts.
Well, when we and you just gave us, I would like to give a shout out to my friend Martha Aguayo from Physicians for Social Responsibility out of L.A., who often says, you know, this is how we in California can even show and clearly demonstrate that race is a factor, because they are not fracking, as we said, doing the Marcellus Shale fracking in Beverly Hills, but they sure are doing it in Baldwin Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And look at who lives in Baldwin Hills. And so you have people of means in Baldwin Hills, but there are black people with means in Baldwin Hills. So again, where this is how we continue to say it does not matter across the socioeconomic spectrum. At the end of the day, race is a significant factor when it relates to that of environmental justice, environmental injustice, as we say. And in addition to that, it was the environmental justice movement in the 1990s that actually redefined for even environmentalists what environmentalism means, and that it means where we work, where we play, where we learn, where we pray. And so therefore, some of that language, as you say, when you hear environmentalists saying today, well, this is impacting everyone, they're actually speaking from the frame that was actually instituted at the first People of Color Summit in 1991, mm-hmm. when we defined the fact that number one, there was environmental racism because of the disproportionate impacts due to the policies, our United States policies that address that of environment and environmental protection, number one. And number two, the fact that it is impacting every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
And so that is how it was redefined by that movement.
So, Michelle Roberts, for people who want to find out what they can do about your work, the work of your organization, what should they do?
What they can do is go to the LouisvilleCharter.org. It's a website where we actually have the list of the full report, even the Who's in Danger report. You can download a full report with the full appendices to show where in your particular state the industries that perhaps have you in harm's way. But in addition to that, we have recommendations that have we have offered up to the Obama administration, given the fact that a year ago, August 1st of 2013, President Obama authored an executive order to address the impacts of chemical disasters. And so the Environmental Justice and Health Alliance provided recommendations to that process.
Right. And can they get these recommendations by going to the website? Because literally we are out of time now.
Yes, they can get the recommendations by going to the website, and they can ask, they can appeal to their senators and elected officials to adopt those recommendations.
Right. Just repeat the website again.
It's the LouisvilleCharter.org.
Right. Well, on that note, Michelle Roberts, we would love to have you back to hear more about your work. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you so much for the wonderful work that you do, Ms. Prescott. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you so much. And we'd like to thank the Global Justice Ecology Project for partnering with us for our weekly Earth Watch as well as our weekly Earth Minute.